Last time we began to discuss three questions, and then we were in the middle of a lengthy discussion of the parallel between the story here in Perek Yud Zayin and the story of Yosef and his brothers. So I want to briefly review some of what we covered last time before moving on. So take a look in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud. Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud says as follows. V'amar plishti ani charafti et marachot Yisrael hayom hazeh, tenu li ish v'nilchama yachad. We talked about the extensive description of Goliath in the first part of the parak, and his shaming of the Marachot Yisrael, and the apparent lack of any sort of ish to meet his challenge. He says here, "Tnuli ish v'nachama yachad," and there is no champion. There is no ish. There's no one to stand up to him. Moreover, take a look in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayishma Shaul b'chol Yisrael tivrei plishti, eila veichatu v'yiru ma'od. And Shaul and all of Israel heard the words of the Plishti, and they were terrified and frightened. So he pointed out that this is the issue of how to relate to the problem of there being no Ishbi Israel to respond to Goliath, and how do we evaluate Shaul and all of Israel's behavior here, and that was one issue we raised in last shiur. A second issue we raised in last shiur, take a look in Pasuk Tetvav for the moment. Pasuk Tetvav says as follows. And we pointed out that this seems to be a rather strange pasuk, pasuk tetvav. It's unclear what it's doing here. Didn't necessarily fit into the retzif of the parak. So he pointed out this obviously kind of goes back to the end of Perek Tetzayin. Take a look in Perek Tetzayin, pasuk kaf aleph, which says as follows. And David came in from Shaul, and he... It's very dear to him, and he became his armor bearer. No sechelim. V'shlach Shaul Yishai lemor yamod na David lefnei kol matzachen beinai, ki matzachen beinai. Shaul sent to Yishai, let David stay here. And then we had the final pasuk of Perek Tet Zayin. Vayi beyot ruach Elohim or Elohim al Shaul v'lakach David et takina v'nigin b'edav ruach v'ravach Shaul v'tov lo v'sar me'alav ruach hara'a. So apparently, it would seem that David is now located in the house of Shaul, and he's there to deal with the Ruach Ra'ah as it occasionally crops up. And we would imagine that it would be kind of strange if David is already in the house of Shaul. What's he doing back in the house of Yishai, his biological father? So on some plane, Pasuk Tetvav, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Tetvav, comes to resolve that problem. It says as follows, David olech v'sham me'al Shaul, erote etzon aviv, beit lacham, so David went back and forth. But really the real issue here, and this we discussed this both in the technical and the substantive planes, is how one understands the relationship between Perek Tet Zayin and Perek Yud Zayin. You have your kind of two stories of the emergence of David. The first where he is Nimshach, and then eventually winds up in the house of Shaul. And the second where he seems to appear out of the blue, he's sent to his brothers and etc. And the rise of David, and he winds up being close to Shaul. And it's kind of a kind of fundamental, essential question, how to understand the relationship between the two prokim, the two stories of the emergence or the rise of David, and that was another question we raised last time. The third question that we raised last time was actually one we were in the midst of discussing, which had to do with the parallel between the story here in Perek Yud Zayin of Sefer Shmuel and the well-known story in Sefer Bereishit of Yosef ve'Echav. And we noted a couple of parallels between the two stories. I'd like to pick it up where we'd ended off. But just a very brief review, what could be seen at least as three groups of distinct parallels between the stories. And let's just pick it up by taking a look at a particular pasuk here. Let's take a Yud Zayin, Yud Bet. V'David ben ish Efrati hazeh mibet lachem Yehuda ushmo Yishai velo shmo nevanim v'ish b'mesha ozakim b'van Hashem. It's an old man named Yishai had eight sons, and this was David's father. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Ve'yachu shloshet b'nei Yishai ha'gedolim halchu achrei Shaul melchama sham, v'shloshet b'nav asher halchu b'melchama liyav ha'bachot, etc. Ve'yachu shloshet b'nei Yishai. We discussed last time that there's this kind of scene of the old father, the Zakein. The sons, or some of the older sons, are ve'yachu. They go to a particular makom. The younger son stays at home. And eventually the younger son is sent to examine or to check out the Shalom Echav, the peace of his brothers. And we demonstrated or showed this is a kind of direct parallel to the story of Yosef and his brothers. Yosef is home with his father, the Zaken, he's a Ben Zkunim. The brothers go away, he's sent to be Mvakeh Shalom. And that was kind of one group of parallels, the Shiluchin of Yosef. A second group of parallels was we noted that there are a lot of parallels in the identity of the hero in both stories. For example, David is a Roe Etzon. David is called the Nar by Goyah later on. David is Yefei Mareh. Well, Yosef is all three of those things. He's a Nar. He's a Roe Etzon, along with his brothers, and also he's Yefei Mareh, etc., as we see later on in the Yosef story. So a second group of parallels was the identity of the hero in both stories, the descriptions of the hero in both stories. Now, I think I ended kind of with this last time. I believe it was a third group that I managed to touch upon, and that was the relationship between the brothers in both stories. We remember in the Yosef story that he brought Dibatam Ra'ah, right? The term was Ra'ah, Dibatam Ra'ah. They hated him, Al-Chalavotav, Va'al Dvarav, because of the Dibatam Ra'ah. And they sharply criticized him by saying, Hamashal Tim Shalbanu, regarding the dreams, etc. Well, so too here in the David story, there seems to be some tension between David and his older brothers, and there's a critique by a particular older brother of David. And of course, what I have in mind is his conversation with Eliav, and this is kind of the last point I made last time. Take a look in Perek Yitzayin, Pasuk Kafchet. Vayishma Eliav achiv gadol bedabro el anashim vayichar af Eliav bedavid. He became angry. Vayomer, lema zeiradta v'almina tashta mat tzon. You were irresponsible. You abandoned the tzon. Hahina b'mibra. Ani adati etzdonchav et roa levavecha. Ki leman ro'ota mechama yaradta. You have a bad heart. This issue of criticism, tension in the relationship also exists in both stories, and that was a kind of example of a third group of parallels between the stories. Now, at this point I stopped in last year, and I said, okay, well, I think there are many, many others, actually, but also we raised the fundamental question of how to explain the parallel. Before we get to the fundamental issue of how to explain the parallel between Sefer Bereishit and Sefer Shmuel, because it's interesting, and also because just technically you have to do these things, let's talk about some of the other parallels between Sefer Bereishit and Sefer Shmuel. And I believe, Judah actually asked me about this, what exactly I assigned as homework at the end of the last year. I did say if anybody gets a chance to try to spot other connections between Bereishit Lamed Zayin and on and Sefer Shmuel, and our story here in Sefer Shmuel of Perek Yud Zayin. Did anybody take a look at this? If you didn't, that's actually okay. I didn't really mean the homework too seriously. I'm not going to send you home with a note or anything like that, or if you do bad marks. But can anybody think of any others, perhaps, if you didn't get a chance? Even look at it now, perhaps, it's worthwhile. Think of anything else, any other resemblances between the two stories. I think there are a few others that I think are really interesting. I don't care, because the truth is the Yosef story goes on for a lengthy period of time, and as does the David story. We actually only read the beginning of the very long David Goliath story, and some of the parallels are in other parts of the story. If that's your intuition, I kind of agree. But, yeah, Jude, go ahead.
In Pasuk Lamed Zayin, it says,
Yud Zayin Lamed Zayin?
Yeah.
Okay. Give me a parak. You have to give me a parak now. A particular parak.
So Lamed Tekaf Gimel would be one example. It says Basher Hashem Itel. So it's a little not exact same lashon, but it's pretty similar.
Okay, take a look at Lamed Tekaf Gimel. So Judah says Lamed Tekaf Gimel Ein Sar Beit Asar Roet Kol Hamuma Biado. Vasher Hashem Ito, because God was with Yosef. Vasher Hu Oseh Hashem Matzliach. God made successful whatever he did. That he claims that, to some extent, parallels, right? Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Vayomer David Hashem Asher Silana Miyad Hari, Miyad Adov, Hu Yatzleni Miyad Plishti Azeh. The issue of Hashem being with him in both cases. I think that is interesting. I'm not sure if it's a parallel per se, but I think it's interesting thematically. We'll have to come back to this idea a bit later on. Yeah.
Yeah. kind of a general theme. In Yosef's story, he has a dream that makes him powerful, but he's treated like he's treated like he's not powerful. Then he eventually rises up to power. Also in our story, Shmuel comes, anoints him, right? He has some kind of power, some premonition that he will have power. He's treated like just anybody else. His older brothers go to war, he has to serve them, and then later on he comes and becomes the powerful one.
Okay, these are both interesting points. The point of God being with the central character, whether Yosef or David, I think that's interesting. The point of it kind of takes a while for, whether it be David or Yosef, to make their rise, or to kind of reach their high point. I think that's really interesting. We'll come back to both of these points. Yeah, Yaakov, what do you want to add?
When Yosef is going and looking for his brothers, he finds a mysterious Ish. And in the David story, when David comes to the camp, everyone is like in awe of the mysterious Ish that comes out.
I actually think that is good, and others agree as well. And if you know the way this begins, of course, is with the strange thing of the Zakein and the Nar Babayit, and the brothers went, and you go to check out the Shalom. So let's follow up right after that. Okay, take a look in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Kaftal. Okay, after he checked out the Shalom Achav. So in Yud Zayin Kaftal, you have the following: V'chol Ish Yisrael Barotamita Ish. They saw the man. You have the term ish here, as Yaakov pointed out. They're very scared, referring to the plishti. Pasuk kafei. Vayomer ish Yisrael. So some anonymous ish Yisrael speaks to David and says to him, "Hariitem ha'ish ha'oleh hazeh ki l'charefit Yisrael oleh." This person came to embarrass or to disgrace Am Yisrael. Vaya ish asher yakenu yasrenu hamelech osha gadol vet bitel yitein lo vet beit aviv yaseh chavshi b'Yisrael. Now, the phrase ish appears here, you know, three or four times in these psukim, and who's the ish? Is the ish the plishti? Is the ish the strange, anonymous, speaking ish Yisrael? Is the ish the person who's going to smite the ish of plishti? Ish is very, very prominent here. What's also prominent is the idea that there's a anonymous character called an ish that gives a key piece of information to the hero, / David, on his destiny, which eventually helps him arrive at where he's supposed to be. Now, that, I think, is actually quite a nice thematic and even perhaps linguistic parallel to the Yosef story. And what I have in mind in the Yosef story is go back to Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Tedvav. Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Tedvav. Yosef goes on his mission, and he's a bit lost. He really can't find his way. You have there, he's in Emet Chavon, he's wandering around. Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Tedvav. Vayimtza'eyu ish v'hine, a man, an anonymous ish, v'hine toa basadeh. Vayishaleo ish, lemor, matevakesh. What are you looking for? Vayomer tachai anochim vakesh. Hagidin ali eifahim rim, where are they? Vayomer ish. So there's this anonymous ish that gives Yosef counsel or speaks to him and helps guide him on his path to get to where he has to get to eventually, right? So I think that's good. I think the issue of an anonymous ish in both stories that has a conversation at a key point or juncture with the person on their journey, which helps them get there, I think that's another... certainly a fourth parallel, I kind of agree. And the others I'm going to leave out for a moment, but I think they're good too. Okay. Anyone else? Anyone ever think about the issue of the clothing in both stories? Both stories have this really interesting issue of clothing. And actually even a particular kind of clothing. Let me kind of explain what I mean, because we haven't yet read the Psukim in Perek Yud Zayin. Let's take a look in Perek Yud Zayin in Sefer Shmuel in Pasuk Lamed Chet. It goes as follows. Vayomer Shaul David el David, lech v'Hashem yeimach. So go and God will be with you. Vayabesh Shaul et David madav, and Shaul dressed him in his uniform, in his war clothes. V'natan koven echoshet al rosho. He put the copper helmet on his head. Vayabesh atoshion. He dressed him in his armor. Vayachkor David et charbo me'al lemadav. He couldn't walk. He lonely saw. He was inexperienced. It's hard to walk in the heavy armor. You have a dressing. He's dressed up in the clothes of Shaul HaMelech, and then he's undressed, right? So you have here both dressing and undressing in the story here. in bigadim that, if you think about it, are effectively bigdei malchut, because they are Shaul's personal armor. Now, being dressed and undressed in bigdei malchut should, of course, conjure up echoes of the Yosef story. And what do I have in mind? Well, what is the marker, or at the beginning of the story of Yosef, what is it all about? Take a look in Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Dalet. Let's go back there, okay? Pasuk Gimel. Lamed Zayin Gimel. V'Yisrael ahavet Yosef mikol banav, kiven zkunim hulo, v'asa lo ketonet pasim. He made him this ketonet pasim. And next pasuk dal, v'yirachav ki yato ahav aviyem mikol achav, v'yisnu otav lo echol dabru shalom. So, you know, one way to read the Yosef story is that it's just about the favoritism. You know, he made him the nice, I don't know, what's a ketonet pasim? What does that mean? That's the technicolor dream coat. He made him the technicolor dream coat, the striped coat, the coat of many colors. Ibn Ezra says that pas is from palm of the hand. And what it actually means, a ketonet pasim, is a long-sleeved coat that it covers the palm of the hands. Now, whether it's a striped coat, or it's a long-sleeved coat that covers the palm of the hands, or it's a technical dream coat, it's certainly a sign of Yaakov's favoritism to Yosef, and the brothers resent this. And there's one side, one hebet, or aspect of the story of Yosef and his brothers. It's a story of sibling rivalry, right? Oh, Abba likes him more than he likes us. And that's what the story is. It's all just about that. But of course, that's not so. Because if you look later on in Tanakh, Ketonet Pasim, anybody know who else wears a Ketonet Pasim? What?
Tamar.
When Amnon has his way with Tamar, you find there in Malachim Aleph, I believe it.
Shmuel Bet.
In Shmuel Bet, correct. I'm not remembering exactly where, though, because my mind is blanking today. It says that she had upon her a Ketonet Pasim, ki kein til bashana benot ha-melech. That's the exact formulation there. Whereas the Ketonet Pasim, later on in Sefer Shmuel Bet, is the garment of royalty. So now, is it just the garment of royalty? It's kind of a way of reading back to the Yosef story. Was it always the garment of royalty? It's some sort of mark of distinction. And certainly the story of Yosef and his brothers is not just about sibling rivalry. Take a look in Bereishit Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Chet, how they immediately know how to interpret the dreams. Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Chet, V'yamar lo Achav, Hamaloch Timloch Aleinu im Mashal Timshel Banu. Are you going to be the Melech? You're going to be the Moshel? In other words, it's all about the issue of Melucha or Memshala from the very, very beginning in the rivalry between Yosef and his brothers. Or if you look later on in the story, take a look in Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Yutet, when they realize that he's coming. They see him and they want to kill him. What do they say? Lamed Zayin Yutet, V'yamru Ish El Achav, Hine Baal HaChalomot HaZeba. Oh, so the Baal HaChalomot is coming. And what they don't like about him is his dreams of leadership, of mastery. What's the first thing they do? Jump down to Pasuk Kaf Gimel, Lamed Zayin Kaf Gimel. Vayi Kasher Ba Yosef El Achav. When Yosef came to his brothers, what's the first thing they do? Vayafshitu et Yosef et kutanto et ketonet hapasim asher alav vayikachu vayeshlichu oto habora. The first thing to do is they strip off his coat. Because they take off the beged, because the beged symbolizes everything. Now, is the beged just the sign of the father's favoritism? Or is the beged bigdei malchut? I think it symbolizes the favoritism, it symbolizes the desires, the dreams, the claims of Yosef, and it also symbolizes malchut. So you see here that Yosef is lovesh bigdei malchut when he puts on the ketonet pasim, and then he has bigdei malchut removed from him when the brothers strip him of the ketonet pasim, and they throw him into the bar, and it's exactly like later on in the story of David, that David is lovesh. He dresses himself in the bigdei malchut of Shaul, and then they come off, and they're taken off. So it's the clothing and unclothing in bigdei malchut is a fifth parallel, I think, between the two stories. So I think that's another one. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, also, it continues throughout David and Shaul's life where he rips the coat, and then at the end of, that Gadim Velo Yechamlo, that signifies the end of his kingship, that he can't become war with the Gadim. So he pulls away from.
I agree, but even before that, I think Begadim come up again in the David story. What? Hmm?
Yeah.
Say again, louder.
The
even before that. I mean, we haven't read it yet, so you guys don't realize, but let's take a look. You know, let's do this from the tzad of the Yosef story. I think what's really interesting is to go, as Judah kind of hinted on, a few more parallels here, and the way to see it is to go further on in the Yosef story, not to the beginnings of it in Perek Lamed Zion, but like to the ends of it later on in, let's take Perek Mem, or Perek Mem Aleph, for example. Take a look in Perek Mem, in Pasuk Yud Dalid. When Yosef has kind of reached the low point, he's in the bar with the various Sarim of Paro, he interprets the dreams, and in Perek Mem, Pasuk Yudalit, he says as follows. He has a request. Ki im zerachartani itcha kashe yitavlach vasita na'imadi chesed vizkartani al paro votziti min abayit hazeh. Yosef wants to get out of the pit. And he has a plan. Yosef always has a plan. His plan to get out of the pit is, all right, he's going to interpret these dreams for the Sar HaTavachim and the Sar HaThis and the Sar HaThat. And hopefully, at least for one of them, it's going to work out right. And for the one it works out right for, Kim is Kim Zechartani, you should remember me. Now, how well does the plan of Yosef work out when he asks the Sar Ha, I don't remember who it was, it's the Sar HaTavachim, right? When he asked him to, it's the Sar HaMashkeh. Sar HaMashkeh, he asked the Sar HaMashkeh to remember him. How well does that work out for Yosef? Good. I'm with Judah. Meaning, there's the initiative, and the initiative Greda doesn't work out because the guy forgets him. But then Hashem brings the dreams to Paro, and when Hashem brings the dreams to Paro, then, he does remember him, right? And then the initiative does work out, and we take a look in Mem Aleph Yudalid. What actually happens in Mem Aleph Yudalid? Vayishlach Paro, vayikra. Well, even go back to Yudgimel. Vayikasher patar lanokena yauti heshiv al kanivo totala. Yudalid vayishlach Paro vayikrat Yosef vayritzu min abar vaygalach vaychalef simotav vayavo Paro. In other words, because of his plan, Yosef is brought in front of Paro and gets to make his proposal. Now, this idea of the central character having a plan and kind of through his wits getting brought in front of the king also happens in the David story, right? Take a look in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, right? Take a look in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, a key Pasuk in our story. Vayishmu advarim asher diber David. And the words that David had spoken were heard. And he was taken in front of the king. He did the same thing. He created this shmua by going around and asking everybody, oh, what's going to be the price or the reward for the one who defeats Goliath? And everybody's talking about it. And then through his wits and his plan, he's eventually brought in front of the king. And the same exact verb, vayikacheu, was used in both cases. So another sixth group of parallels is the fact that there's this kind of plan, and through his wits, the central character is brought in front of the king in both stories. Now, how do both stories end? Both stories also end in a similar fashion. How does the Yosef story end? It ends really, really well for Yosef, as we know. Take a look in Mem Aleph, in Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Mem Bet, in Sefer Bereshit. And there you have as follows. Okay. Vayasa Paro Tabato Me Al Yado, Mem Aleph Mem Bet and Bereshit. Vayasa Paro Tabato Me Al Yado, Vayiteno Oto Yad Yosef. Vayabesh oto bigde shesh, vayasem revid as a aval tavaro, vayarkev oto bimrekevet hamishneh shalo, vayikra lefanav avrech, vinatanato al karetz mitzrayim, and then da 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 da, and then you know what? He gives him a wife, pasuk mem hey, vayikra paro shem yosef tzatat panef, vayitin lo et asnat bat pera potifera koin on lisha, vayetze yosef al karetz mitzrayim. There are three key points here in the end of the Yosef story in Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Membet and on. One, he gets redressed in Big Day Malchut. Two, he's given a wife by the king. Three, he's Yotzei Al-Kol Eretz Mitzrayim. He goes out in front of the king, and he's Yotzei Al-Kol Eretz Mitzrayim, and that's exactly what he does. Now, it's really interesting to take a look at, but Perek Yud Chet, which is the continuation of the David story, more or less ends in exactly the same way. Take a look in Perek Yud Chet, Pasuk Dalid, in Sefer Shmuel, and let's take a look over there. We have it as follows. After Yosef is brought in front of the king yet again, Yudchat Dalet, V'yitfashet Yehonatan et ha-me'il asher alav. Yehonatan took off his me'il. V'yitnei le David umadav ad charbo ad kashto ad charbo, and his whole uniform. So the prince, Yonatan, gives him his clothes. These are Bigdei Malchut, and he dresses David in the Bigdei Malchut. Obviously, the prince had special clothes, right? Now, I don't know if it was the Me'il Ketonet Pasim or the Me'il was not a Ketonet Pasim. It would be really great to find some Midrash that said that the Me'il was a Ketonet Pasim, but I haven't found one. I haven't really looked too hard. Maybe that's something for other homework that won't be done. But you have here the redressing in the Bigdei Malchut, just like in the Paro story, in the Yosef story. And we kind of go on here as well in Perek, in the next pasuk, pasuk hey. Vayetzi David b'chol sheishachanu shol. So he's Yotze as this number two. He's taken the place of Yonatan. He's dressed in Bigdei Malchut. So he's the number two to Shaul, the same as Yosef has been dressed as a prince and become the number two to Paro. And of course, we well know that in Perek Yudchet, pasuk. Take a look at Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayomer Shaul el David, hinei biti agadol meirav ota etein lach leisha. So he gives him a wife. So in other words, there's a kind of seventh group of parallels between the two stories. At the very end, the second dressing in Bigdei Malchut, the Yitziah al Kol Haaretz is number two, and the receiving of a wife from the king in both stories. And this is a kind of yet another parallel. Now there might be some others, but I think I would hope. And there are others. What Judah and Yair suggested, Hashem is with him in both stories, or it takes a while for to rise to his destiny. Or, those are also there as well, and maybe there are even more, but these are some of the standard, classic, famous ones that are discussed, etc. Now, here's my question for you guys. What are we to make of this? Does anybody want to take a shot at trying to interpret this extensive parallel between the story of David here in Perek Yud Zayin, Yudchet and on, and the story of Yosef in Breishit Lamed Zayin through Mem Aleph and on? I am certainly interested in entertaining suggestions. Judah, what do you have to say? If that was a hand, a partial hand.
Yeah, and we know about Yosef that he is going to be the future savior. This whole story basically building up to him becoming Tzavnat Panach and then bringing the Jews, bringing the Jew, you might say the Jewish nation, to Mitzrayim to start the destiny, become the Jewish nation, and move forward to Israel, and Sam Mitzrayim and Eretz Israel. And this could be the same thing for David right here as well. That this could be the first push in David becoming the future savior for Am Yisrael, and the first real king to be successful and start the Jewish nation in Israel.
Okay, so Judah's theory, if I understood this correctly, is that if you think about the Yosef story, it's the story of the rise of the first Jewish melech or proto-melech who unites the tribes under his, or the shvatim, under his leadership in Mitzrayim, and he's their leader, right? So if so, it's kind of no surprise that in another story of the rise of he who really genuinely is the first melech, because Shaul was just kind of a fake attempt or a failed attempt. So too, like a lot of the motifs of the Yosef story repeat themselves. Or the David story is kind of modeled on the Yosef story. Okay, interesting idea. Interesting idea. Anyone else? Sam?
I mean, it's how the development of a king. As we always say that Yosef was the tzaddik because of what he was able to undergo in terms of his situations that he was put in, right? So the malchut would be something that would be corrupting, right? So then we could say that this is the long haul of what it makes to be a king under this undergoing certain circumstances.
Okay, I like this idea. I'm gonna come back to it in a second. Any other comments or suggestions? Any other ideas? Mayor, what do you have to say?
Maybe two things, and also they might be opposites, but the idea that Hashem is sort of setting this entire thing up, that Hashem's like in control, maybe.
That Hashem is in control. Okay. Go on. And what's the opposite side?
The other thing I was going to say was that both characters seem like they sort of are very clever and they know what to do to like move up in the ranks. You know what I mean? Like the whole idea of David going around like purposely like spreading this rumor that he gets sort of sent in front of Shaul is it sort of represents like a more tactful side, and I think with the same thing with Yosef, he seems to be, both those characters seem to be thinking like multiple steps ahead, always having plans, always sort of.
Okay, so Mayer suggested two things that he perceives as opposites.
I said they
maybe
might be opposites.
They might be opposites. Okay, they might. One, the idea of God's involvement, and the other idea, the idea of human wits. or Yosef's wits, or David's wits, as the case may be, which is kind of interesting. Okay. Any other comments? I really like this idea, and I think it's similar in some ways to both what Judah and Sam suggested, and I want to go in this direction, maybe bring it together a little bit. Well, the Judah's idea might be a little bit different. Aden, what do you have to say?
It's very, very similar to Judah's, but you can understand it as not the same model, but you can understand it as not just repeating the same model, but say, oh, both are stories of rising to power, of the beginning of a Jewish nation, but you can view it as like two bookends. Like you see Yosef's story, and that's the start of like not the start of leadership, but going down to Egypt. And then when you see like this again, this great he is some sort of saving character, and then you see David, and then he starts reading the stories like, oh, I've read this before, and you're sort of saying like, oh, it's like it's ending that process, and we're starting a whole new chapter.
So it's kind of a tikkun or a reboot of what had gone on previously. That's also a possibility which is connected to this idea. Okay, let me try to put a few things together here in one mahalach, which I think is actually what Judah and Yair had been pointing to originally, which I kind of pushed off. I want to try to bring those points together with a bunch of other things said here, try to explain the parallel in a particular way. Take a look. Let's do this from inside. Let's take a look in back in Sefer Breshit, in Perek. One of the things we know about Yosef that's very, very important, take a look in Perek Memhei, Pasuk Bet. Perek Memhei, Pasuk Bet in Sefer Breshit. So there we have, when Yosef's brothers eventually appear in front of him, or when he eventually reveals himself to his brothers, it says as follows. Okay, so actually, Pasuk Hay. Okay, the brothers are very upset when Yosef first reveals himself. And he says, and Yosef achicham, they're upset. And then he says as follows, Pasuk Hay, Mem Hay Hay. V'yata al tiatzvu, do not be sad, v'al yichar beinichem, let not be bad in your eyes, ki mechartem otiena, that you sold me here, ki lemechia shalachani elokim lifneichem. God sent me as a to provide food in front of you. And then he says again, Yosef always says over and over and over that who did everything? Who was responsible? It was God. In other words, Yosef always emphasizes the theme of hashkacha, of divine providence. Everything that happens to him is really about divine providence, and it's been guided by divine providence. And moreover, as part of this notion of Yosef as the ma'amin, Yosef is the tzaddik, Yosef is always having emunah, it's always readily apparent that God is with Yosef. As those psukim we pointed to earlier, that it was obvious to the people in the bar that Yosef is matzliach because Hashem is ito. So the themes of emunah b'Hashem, of Hashem being with him, are very, very prominent in the Yosef story, that divine providence guides the rise of the hero through all the twists and turns, etc., etc., etc. That's a very prominent theme in the Yosef story. Now, I actually think that to a great extent, Meir's right. It's not just that Yosef has emunah. It's not just that there's this divine providence guiding him, but it's also Yosef utilizes his own wits, his own wiles, and he's the one who makes the plan in the bar, as we showed, and says, oh, you need to remember me to Paro. And when he's the one who comes in front of Paro, what? Well, this is not a Chazal shir. This is not Tanakh Bagova Chazal. This is Tanakh Bagova Ani. So the point is he relies upon his own wits there, and he makes the plan. And when he comes in front of Paro, let's take a look at in Perek Mem Aleph Pasuk Lamed Gimel, right? Mem Aleph Lamed Gimel, Perek Mem Aleph Pasuk Lamed Gimel. You have the following, okay? Vata, Vataya Re Paro Ishnavon, after he interprets the dream immediately. Vataya Re Paro Ishnavon, Vachacham, a wise and intelligent man, Veishiteo al Eretz Mitzrayim, let him be appointed on all of Mitzrayim, Yasef Paro, Veifakid Pekidim al Eretz, Vechameshat the Eretz Mitzrayim, Besheva Shnei Sava, and you'll divide up Mitzrayim, and you'll collect all the tithing during the 7 years of Sova, Veikpizuot Kol Chol Shanema Tavot the Baot Eila, Veitzpru. Yosef unveils this plan for creating this imperial state, and he's just got it. The minute he interprets the dream, he's there with a plan. A lot of what's crucial about Yosef is his wits and his wisdom. Now, at the end, when Paro hears this, he's persuaded by Yosef's plan. What does he say to him? Take a look at Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Vayitfa davar b'enei Paro v'enei kol avadav. Vayom Paro avadav. Hanimtza ze ha'ish asher ruach Elokim bo. And then he says to him, Vayomer Paro Yosef achrei hodia Elohim otcha et kol zot ein navon v'chacham kamocha. So he has Ruach Elokim, Ein Navon, he's Navon v'chacham. So precisely because Yosef is able to use his wits and he has plans, he's Navon v'chacham and etc., etc., etc. Okay. I think, effectively, all of you are somewhat right, that the story of the rise of David is also a story of a rise of a leader through these kinds of providential twists and turns, but it also involves both of these components. One, the idea of God being with him, Hashem Ito, but two, the idea of using his own wits. And let's go back to the David story and take a look at it inside. Take a look, for example, in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk, Lamed Vav, right? When he makes his pitch to Shaul. What does Shaul say? Makes his pitch. So Gamet Ariv veGamet Adov Hikav Decha Vayah Plishti Harel Azeh Kachad Meem Ki Charef Marachot Elokim Chayim. The first thing David claims is, you know, I have Gvura. I can beat the lion. I can beat the bear. And this Plishti Harel, you know, he deserves. You know, who knows what he's going to get? Charef Marachot Elokim Chayim. What's Shaul's response to that? Does Shaul go along with David's plan? No, not at first. Take a look at the next pasuk, Lamed Zayin. Vayomer David, Hashem Asher Yitzilani Miyad Ariyah Miyad Adov, Hu Yatzilani Miyad HaPlishti Hazeh. It's God's going to save me. Pasuk, the continuation of Lamed Zayin. Vayomer Shaul David, Lech Vashem Yeh Imach. It's about Hashem being with David that eventually that leads to Shaul trusting him. So this idea of Hashem being with him. And certainly throughout the story, David has emunah. Right, he doesn't go with the shiryon. He doesn't go with the spears. He goes with just the, you know, with the slingshot and the rocks, etc. So David is emunah. But as you've also shown, David goes with his wits. Right, he's the one who made this plan to be brought in front of Shaul, and he's the one who realizes that he could probably defeat him with the slingshot if he aims the slingshot to the right place. Right. So in other words, it's a mixture of wits. And emunah and Hashem being with him, and it's the same story of how through using his wits and using his emunah and Hashem being with him, the hero rises to prominence and becomes Mishneh LaMelech in both stories. So in this sense, the two stories are very, very similar, and I think that could explain a lot of the parallel, as a lot of you guys pointed out, right? It's the rise of the leader through divine providence, through wits, through emunah, etc. I like all these points taken together. Now, what fits with this, and this is very, very important, is that how many people in Tanakh are called Chacham v'Navon? Anyone want to take a guess?
Two.
Guess who the two are? Yosef by Paro is called Chacham v'Navon, and I just showed you the Psukim. And the other place, I hope I'm right, Mary's about to check me here. And the other person in Tanakh who's called Chacham v'Navon, according to Avi Reich's prediction, would be who? David, where is David called Chacham v'Navon? It's not in Perek Yud Zayin. It's not. Where is it? It's actually back in Perek Tet Zayin. It's in the previous Perek in the story of Meshichat David. Take a look in Perek Tet Zayin, Pasuk Yud Chet. Vayan, when they were looking for the harp player, Vayan echad me'anarim vayomer, Hine ra'iti ben li Yishai beit alachmi yodea nyagen, and it should stop there, but continues on. Maybe alatid v'gibor chayil v'ish milchama unavon davar v'ish tor v'Hashem imo. So it's said here that he's navon davar. He has chachma. He has wits. V'Hashem imo, and God is with him. In other words, at this point in Perek Tet Zayin, this means nothing to us because we only know of David as a harp player, as a shepherd. But I would almost argue like Likrat Ati is already called Hashem Imo and Navon Davar, just like Yosef back in the Bereishis story, because it's part of this parallelism of you have two stories of how through Hashkacha and Emunah and wits and God being with someone, they rise to prominence to become Mishneh LaMelech. They're basically the same kind of story. Now, this is one way to go. Now, one of the reasons why this is so important is that I think this somewhat explains the problem of the relationship between Perek Tet Zion and Perek Yud Zion. Because what does this all mean? What's the relationship between Perek Tet Zion and Perek Yud Zion? The relationship is, well, I don't know, what do you guys think? Anyone want to take a shot at it according to this Malach? What's the relationship between Perek Tet Zion, the first story of the rise of David, and the second story of the rise of David? What's the relationship between them? Anyone? Yeah, Yossi?
One of them shows God choosing him, and the other one shows himself rising to power on his own.
Good, I agree. I like the Shtei Bechinot approach to explaining Perek Tet Zion and Perek Yud Zion. Perek Tet Zion is the Meshichat, Meshichat David, by divine fiat, God chooses Shmuel the sent, and he's Moshe Choto, that's it. And therefore, Ruach Hashem rests upon him. That's what's special about David and Perek Tet Zion. Perek Yud Zion is a completely different story. It's not really about divine Bechirah in a top-down perspective. It's more about the twists and turns of divine providence where the person almost rises to prominence through emunah, through their own wits, through Hashem being with them, in a kind of much more interesting, difficult, twisted, this-world way, a bottom-up way, as opposed to a kind of top-down way in certain kinds of way. And these are almost like two Bechinot of the rise to prominence of David. Now, that's one way to go. The other way to go, I'm not sure you have to say Shtei Bechinot. You can also think of it, to kind of steal a phrase from the Ramban and other places, as Klal Uprat, right? What's the Klal Uprat? The Klal Uprat is that exact same, or Klal Upratim, that exact same pasuk that I showed you a moment ago in Perek Yud Zion. Take a look in Perek Yud Zion, Perek Tet Zion, pasuk Yud Chet. Again, Vayan Echad Anarim, Vayomer Hine, Ra'iti Ben Li Yishai, Beit Halachmi, Yodea Nagen. It should stop there. V'gibor Chayil, V'ish Milchama. What? Why would we think he's a Gibor Chayil, V'ish Milchama? Unavon Davar, he has wits, he understands things, he knows how to manipulate things. V'ish Toar, he's pretty, he's good looking. That, okay, we know about already. V'Hashem Imo, God is with them. Who says so? This is all Likrat Atid. It's as if the Klal is given here, and the Pratim, to explain what this is all about, are unfolded before us in the lengthy Perek Yud Zion. So you don't necessarily, maybe both these things are right. It's simultaneously both Shtei Bechinot of top-down God's choice and bottom-up providential twists and turns, wits, emunah, and hashkacha, as Shtei Bechinot, but it's also Klal Uprat, that everything that's going to be unfolded in front of us in Perek Yud Zion is already hinted at here in Perek Tet Zion, Pasuk Yud Chet, etc. Oh, well, we find out what it means that David is a Gibor Chayil and Ish Milchama. We find out what it means that he's a Navon Davar. We find out what it means that Hashem is Imo. That's what the story of Yud Zion is about. It's about unfolding those little tantalizing hints that are already presented in Perek Tet Zion in the first introduction of David, right? So I think that's one of two ways to go about the relationship between the two Prakim. Yeah, Judah.
One problem I have with this relationship is that at the end of Perek Tet Zion, Pasuk Nun Hey, it says, if you're a couple of Abiyo Sirachai, Vishdi Amar Al Abner Sarasavam, Ben Mize Hanar Abner. Shouldn't Shaul already...
Okay, this is the famous, famous problem, which at the end we're going to wind up talking about next year. I'm not going to get to it. But one of the reasons why this issue that I keep coming back to of the relationship between Perek Tet Zion and Perek Yud Zion is so pressing and so difficult is because of the famous problem of Shaul's ignorance of David at the end of Perek Yud Zion. Even after, by the way, he's had conversations with him. Even though he's already had a couple of conversations with him and given him his own personal armor, he's still quote-unquote ignorant of who he is, which is also really, really strange when you think about it. What Judah is referring to is, take a look in Perek Yud Zion, Pasuk Nun Hey, and we have the following in Yud Zion Nun Hey. V'chirot Shaul et David yotzei likrat haplishti. When Shaul saw David go out to the plishti, Amar al Avner Saratava, Ben Mize Hanar Avner. Who is this? Who is this person? Vayomer Avner, Chayin Avshcha Melech, Im Yadati. I have no idea. Shaul doesn't know who he is. Amri doesn't know who he is. They have no idea who his father is. What do you mean they don't know who his father is? Back in Perek Tet Zayin, Shaul was sending messengers to Yishai saying, please let your son stay with me. How can he not know who his father is, right? So the fact that David is an unknown at the very end of Perek Tet Zayin is very, very strange, when he should be known because of internally in Perek Tet Zayin, or he should be known certainly because of Perek Tet Zayin. So the truth is, I don't know if there's any way out of this problem, and I will discuss it on the technical plane next time. But if you really believe the Shtei Bechinot theory, and this is a methodological point now, then Shtei Bechinot means Shtei Bechinot. And the two Prakim can actually contradict each other in terms of details. And there are two different stories that are told here that contradict each other, and the contradictions can't be reconciled, but they're told here to emphasize two different aspects or two different ideas. Idea one of the top-down Shikah of David that God chooses. Idea two, that happens because of David's wits and his emunah, and he's the self-made man who rises through the power of his emunah and the power of God being with him and through divine providence. So there's different stories, and therefore the fact that details don't match is okay if you really, really believe the Shtei Bechinot theory here. We'll talk about it again next time. Okay, good point. Now, what I want to share with you before we wrap up today is another mahalach in how to explain the parallel between David and Yosef. One mahalach is, think of it as the Judah and Adin idea of it just being kind of a marker of Malchut. And what I try to suggest here is that it's more about the rise of the self-made man to the position of prominence through wits, emunah, hashgacha, etc. was the approach that I took here. There's a third possibility. It's in some ways fundamentally about Malchut, or about what Malchut is all about. And although I really quote him, I will share with you something that I believe Rav Bazak believes. I believe Rav Bazak believes that the parallel between Yosef and David, Rav Bazak in general believes, I don't know why I'm discussing this, I think this is true, I'm not sure if this is true, I'm under the impression, well, I think, he may believe, that whenever you have parallels between two characters, that means that one is supposed to look good and one is supposed to look bad. And therefore, in the Yosef-David parallel, this in some way is supposed to make, well, who do you think is supposed to make look good, and who's supposed to make look bad, if this theory is actually true? That every two-person parallel has a hero-anti-hero structure. Rav Bazak has never said those words in his life. But if that's the idea, that every two-person parallel has a hero-anti-hero structure, who would be the hero and who would be the anti-hero in the Yosef-David parallel? Yeah, Judah?
Thank you. David would be the hero in Yosef.
Yeah, that's what Bazak thinks. He thinks it's about making David look good. And I think, and now this part further on, I'm going to emphasize, I think the idea is as follows. Take a look at the issue of relationship of brothers in the two stories, and I think that might be a key here. Or maybe even of character. Take a look in Perek Yud Zayin Lamitet. Let's go back to some of the details we discussed previously. In Yud Zayin Lamitet, we read the following in Sefer Shmuel. Vayachkor David et charbo me'al lamadav vayo'al lalechet ki lo nisa. He couldn't walk because he was inexperienced. Vayomer David el Shaul, lo uchal lalechet be'ela. I can't walk in these. Ki lo nisita, I'm inexperienced. Vayisireim David me'alav, David takes them off himself. Along comes the king and gives him the Bigdei Malchut and puts them on him. The king Atzmo dresses him in the Bigdei Malchut. And especially, let's assume that this is the Hemshech of Perek Tet Zayin, that David knows he's been anointed as the king by Shmuel HaNavi, right? So what should this normal human reaction be to being dressed by the king in the king's clothes? What should he say? Oh, that's a perfect fit. They fit me just right. I really, really like these. Right? But instead, in great humility, David removes the Bigdei Malchut, and he says, Lo nisiti, I'm not experienced enough. I'm not ra'oi for these clothes. So you have here is a very sharp moment of characterization of David, that he's humble, and he removes the Bigdei Malchut at this point. Now, of course, if you compare this back to the Yosef story, go back to Perek Lamed Zayin, in Sefer Breshit. What is Yosef's response to the original Bigdei Malchut that he receives? Well, he gets the Ketonet Pasim from his father, and then immediately after he gets the Ketonet Pasim, we take a look in Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Hei, we have the following. Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Hei. Vayachalom Yosef chalom vayaged le'acha vayosifo tznoto. He had a dream, and they hated him more for the dream. Vayamar lehem, Shimon ha'chalom hazeh shechalamti. Here's the dream. What's the dream about? You're all going to bow down to me. So he's got his coat, he's got his bigdei malchut, and he's going around telling everybody, I'm the king, I'm the king, I'm the king. Brothers, listen to this dream, listen to the next dream. And the next dream's even worse. It's not just the brothers bowing down to him, it's the whole cosmos. It's the Shemesh, the Yareach, etc. So we could say that Yosef is the opposite of humble b'tchilat darko. He is youthful, he's naive, he's arrogant, he's somewhat proud, and he has not yet achieved humility at all b'tchilat darko. Of course, he doesn't take off the ketonet pasim from himself as an act of humility. How does it get removed from him? Vayafshitu. They stripped it off him and threw him into the pit and threw him down into the pit. Because he's not willing to take off that ketonet pasim, no matter, because that's a sign of his rulership. So there's kind of interest, this character contrast between David and Yosef in terms of the humility when being dressed in the kingly clothes. Now, what we can add to this is Yosef lords it over his brothers, right? When he's criticized, he just lords it over his brothers. They criticize him, they tell him no. He says, yes, 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 I'm the king, I'm the king, I'm the king. Now, what about David? What happens when David is criticized by his brothers? Take a look in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Zayin, when he's criticized by the brother, by Eliav in Pasuk Kafchet. So Eliav criticizes him. What's David's response? Pasuk Kaftet, Yud Zayin Kaftet. Vayomer David, Me'asiti ata halo davaru. It's not a big deal. He doesn't fight. He doesn't say, you know, I was Nimshach Kemelech, and I could do whatever I want. He doesn't say those things. He just says, okay, you know, really, I didn't. He doesn't defend himself. He just basically says it wasn't a big deal. And there's a certain, one could argue, a certain humility or acceptance of the criticism on David's part. And his attitude to his brothers is different than the attitude of Yosef to his brothers. So the argument here, and this is Rabbi Zak's argument, and he cites both these pieces of evidence, that Yosef is not humble. Yosef lords it over his brothers, as opposed to David, who is humble and does not lord it over his brothers. And that's the contrast between them, and it's meant to make David look good, so to speak. Now, I think this is partially correct, but I tend to side with the fact that I don't think Tanakh is just about people's characters. That literature is about people's characters, that's true. But I always like there to be a kind of theological or philosophical religious idea that goes along with the character analysis. You guys might have kind of picked that up by now. And I think here too, there's a religious or a theological aspect that goes along with this particular character analysis that we just discussed. And the way to see this is to go back to Parshat HaMelech in Perek Yud Zayin of Sefer Dvarim. And this is my own addition to what I heard in the name of Rabbi Zak. Take a look in Dvarim, Perek Lamed Zayin, Perek Yud Zayin, and let's take a look at Pasuk Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Tet Vav. Okay? Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Tet Vav in Sefer Dvarim says as follows. Okay. Hashem commands the Melech. Som tasim alecha melech, place a melech upon you, asher yivchar Hashem elokecha bo, mikerev achecha. The melech has to be chosen from amongst the brothers. Tasim alecha melech, lo tuchal lov latet alecha ish nachri, it can't be a foreigner, asher lo achichahu. So it's got to be your brother, and it's got to be mikerev achecha. Now, interestingly enough, in Parshat HaMelech, the term ach crops up again towards the end of it. There are many things a king can't do. He can't go to Egypt. He can't marry a lot of women. He can't accumulate a lot of gold. All these things he can't do. But they all have a certain purpose, a certain tachlit. Take a look in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Kaf, the very end of Parshat HaMelech. And here it's explained what the whole purpose of everything is in the world of Parshat HaMelech. Levilti rum levavo me'achav, so that his heart does not become elevated above his brothers. The whole point of the melech is that he has to be mikerev achav, amidst his brothers, one of his brothers, and he can't reach the point where he becomes separate from his brothers, that he's rum levavo me'achav, and he's rum levavo me'achav is a fundamental pagam, or a fundamental undermining of what melucha ba'am Yisrael is all about. The melech has to be mikerev achav, and he can't rum levavo me'achav. Now, I would argue that b'tchilat darko, Yosef is Ram levavav me'achav. And the reason why he falls, and falls so many times, is precisely because he's ram levavav me'achav, and only way, way, way later on, at the end of the Yosef story, when he's no longer ram levavav me'achav, does he approach being the actual leader of Am Yisrael, whether it be in Galut, or as a proto-leader, as ever the case is. Now, here's the point. Remember the phrase, som tasim alecha mikerav achecha tasim alecha melech. Now take a look in Perek Tet Zayin, Pasuk Yud Gimel, the very introduction of the David story when he's anointed. Perek Tet Zayin, Pasuk Yud Gimel says about David, Vayikach Shmuel et Keren Hashemen, Vayimshach Oto Bekerev Echav. From the very, very beginning, the Meshichat David is Bekerev Achav. It's in accord with the fundamental idea of Parshat HaMelech that he has to be Bekerev Achav and Lo Ram Levavo El Achav. And hence, the David-Yosef comparison is not just about the fact that David has the character of Bekerev Achav, and that he's humble and he doesn't lord it over his brothers, and etc. It talks about what Melucha is all about. Precisely because he's not Gavoa like Shaul, but he's Bekerev Achav. Shaul's Gavoa, who's descended from Bnei Rachel, the pretty ones, Leah, etc., the pretty ones, Yosef, same, you know, Shaul and Yosef are all on the same side of things, so to speak. David is not that way. He's not Gavoa, he's Dafka Bekerev Achav, and that's why his Melucha is successful. So again, from this perspective, Yud Zayin demonstrating the David-Yosef parallel in the character of David is about the unfolding of the hint of Kerev Achav in Tet Zayin, and it's the same kind of Klal Uprat structure, and it's a fundamental concept about Melucha, not just the character issue that I think is outlined here. Stop here. Okay.
Where's the Chachamim Nevo'im
by David? By David? Yeah. Perek Tet Zayin. It doesn't say Chacham, just Navon.
Right, but it does. But